Welcome to the Berry & Lamberts Solicitors Podcast Series, Commercial Law and Dispute Resolution. In this series, we explain in everyday language how to go about planning for certain commercial scenarios, as well as explaining in more detail common disputes that may need legal resolution. Berry & Lamberts Solicitors, we're right by you through the good times, challenging times, and sad times.
I'm Paul Harvey, and welcome along to another podcast in the series of podcasts with Berry & Lamberts, our new series. Today, I'm with Paul Reeder, who is managing partner with Berry & Lamberts. Welcome, Paul.
Hi, good to be here.
Good to have you with us. Could you please just expand on your role with Berry & Lamberts for the benefit of our listeners?
Yeah, I'm the managing partner at Berry & Lamberts, so I'm responsible for making sure that the business keeps on functioning here and that everyone's happy. I'm also head up the company commercial department and advise businesses through their life journey.
And talking about life journeys, Paul, today's topic is about disaster recovery plans when death impacts on a business owner. All very, very cheery subject matter. What is a disaster recovery plan?
Paul, as you said, it's a cheery topic. Unfortunately, we do need to look into this, though, because people think about making wills, but what they don't think about a lot of the time is what will happen to their business in the event that they sadly pass away. And what a disaster recovery plan means in this context is essentially it's a document where the business owners prepare and look to see what will happen to the business if the worst were to happen in those circumstances.
Clearly, it's very important to have a disaster recovery plan. But why is it so important?
Well, the death of a business owner can not only have an impact on the business, especially in small businesses, where, you know, that can really affect on the work that that business does, but it can also put a massive strain on the owner's family at a time where they're grieving. Usually upon the death of a business owner, their share in the business will pass to the family members, and those family members will have responsibilities and obligations in relation to the business, which they may know nothing about. Now, in certain circumstances, that may not be a problem. Take myself, for example. If I were to get hit by a bus tomorrow, there are enough partners at the firm to cope so that my absence here, whilst obviously devastating to them all on an emotional front, would not have such an impact on the business running itself. And whilst that's not particularly good for my ego, it is comforting that my family and colleagues will not be hit by additional burdens if the worst were to happen. However, as I said, for sole traders or businesses which have a small number of owners, the consequences can be far more serious, and the remaining business owners will have operational matters to consider. The family will want to make sure that their interest in the business can be realised. So if there's a monetary value to that, they'll want to extract that. And in the case of sole traders, the family are often left with having to run the business before it is either wound down or perhaps sold.
Yeah, I can understand that. Of course, can you give a specific example that you've seen or experienced where a disaster recovery plan could have been helpful?
It always stands out in my mind. A few years ago, a lady came to see me and she'd just lost her husband, and he ran a business which imported large farm machinery, combine harvesters from Italy, and sold them to farmers in the UK. And when he passed away suddenly, she was left in a situation where she was getting calls from farmers in the UK saying, "Where's my combine harvester? I've paid hundreds of thousands of pounds for it." And then she's getting calls from people in Italy saying, "Look, we've got a combine harvester here ready to ship over to you. Can you send us the money?" And she knew absolutely nothing about this business. He was a sole trader. He didn't have any employees. And at a time where she had just lost her husband and was grieving, she was having to deal with all this as well. Now, had there been a disaster recovery plan in place, which had been communicated to her and to other people, then that additional burden could have been taken away from her.
I've got to ask the question, why didn't he share with her that information?
I think that people don't think about what will happen if they were to pass away suddenly and unexpectedly. I know from my own personal experience, and I'm a lawyer, that when it came to writing a will, my wills questionnaire sat on my side for over a year before I completed it and sent it back in to get the will completed. So I think people just don't expect that worst to happen. But of course, sadly, it does happen. And I think it's important that everybody looks at that and says, you know, what can I do to put things in place so that the burdens on my family are minimized as much as possible?
Yes, quite. Hindsight, wonderful thing. So What steps should you take then to create a disaster recovery plan?
So I think the first thing that you need to ask is what will happen to the business if I were to pass away? And as I've kind of alluded to already, there's really two situations here. You'll have a business which has a size and enough other owners or employees who can absorb the work that you will do. Or you'll have smaller businesses or sole traders where the loss of an owner will usually have a greater operational impact. The first thing is to work out which of those two camps you fall into.
Let's take larger businesses then. What should they be considering, Paul?
Well, usually for larger businesses, if an owner dies, the business will usually carry on. And the main question is going to be who in the short term will be able to pick up the functions of the role of the owner or senior employee who's passed away. Now, that can often be done from existing resources, but you need to consider whether someone may need to be recruited. And if someone does need to be recruited, you then ask, well, is there going to be enough cash in the business available for the new recruit? Or do you need to look at maybe taking an insurance policy out which pays out on death so that there's an influx of cash to the business if the worst is to happen to allow them to go out and replace that owner employee? They also need to consider how the owner's interest is in the business is to be paid out to the family. So if the business is a partnership, there'd usually be a capital account, which the partner has accrued in the business, and that was usually set out in a partnership agreement that money will be paid out over time. But if the business is trading as a company, then that owner will probably have shares in the business, which will have a value, and it will need to be considered how the family is going to be able to realise that value and whether the remaining owners need to buy those shares back. And that's usually dealt with in a shareholders agreement. And we've done another podcast on that where we go into that question in a little bit more detail.
And if we take smaller businesses then, are there differences of consideration here?
Yeah, and I think really this is probably where it's more important to have a disaster recovery plan in place, because often when a small business loses a key owner who works in the business, it can have a substantial impact. And the first question they need to ask is, look, if that happens, could the business carry on? Or would it be the case that it would need selling or winding down? Often in the case of sole traders, it will be the case that, you know, it will need to be sold or it will need to be wound down. Like larger businesses, if the decision is made to carry on, then you still have the question, well, do we have funds available to employ someone to do what the deceased owner did, and where that money is going to come from? But if the business is to be sold or wound up, there still need to be some short-term measures put in place to keep the business trading until a sale takes place, or to ensure that customers are dealt with prior to a winding up. It's not the question that if someone dies that magically this all happens. Someone needs to take ownership of the process there. And if there are no employees in the business, then that would usually be left to the family members of the deceased business owner to carry out these functions. So it's really important that these people know what the plan is and what roles they need to perform in that plan. So if it is the case of, well, look, we need to, you know, if the worst were to happen to me, the business would have to be wound up. You then need to think, well, okay, what would need to happen before it's wound up? Would we have ongoing contracts that we need to sort out? Who's going to sort those contracts out? If we're going to send those contracts to a different company, where would they go to? How are we going to get rid of them? So it's really a question of the business owners saying, well, look, if the worst were to happen, what is the plan in order to either keep it trading for a sale or to be wound up? And usually you'd need your accountant and solicitor's input into this. And if you are thinking, well, if the consequence of a death would be the business should be sold because that would realise money for the family, you may also want to talk to sales agents about what would happen in those circumstances.
Clearly, a lot of things to think about here. So when you've created your plan, what do you do next?
So it's really important that you document the plan, and then that plan is then circulated to the main people who are going to be involved in carrying out the plan. Like I say, if that includes family members, and it usually will, because they're the ones who are going to essentially inherit the deceased person's assets. So they will need to know what the plan is, whether they need to be involved, or if not, who is to be involved. The plan then should also be circulated to colleagues and any co-owners of the business. And also, I would suggest solicitors and accountants, so that everybody knows that if the worst were to happen, this is what is to happen to the business, and these are the people who are going to be involved. It would also be worthwhile making sure that the key people in the plan have contact details for each other, and also perhaps that they meet each other, so that if the worst to happen, they know who to call, and it's not just a cold, frightening conversation that they have to have in the middle of all the turmoil that they would be going through just through losing a loved one.
Yes, I can imagine that a lot of things have to be considered, but it can relieve a lot of stress and uncertainty, can't it?
It's not an easy thing to do, to sit down and think about what would happen if I were to pass away. But when you do ask yourself that question and then look at what's happening to the business, it's usually fairly obvious what would need to happen. And then it is just a question of documenting that to make sure that it's clear for everybody. And it's just one worry that would then be taken away from the family members in those circumstances.
Thank you for all that information, Paul. It's very, very detailed. Now, if people listening to this want more information about the topic you've covered here, how can they make contact?
The first place to head to would be the website, which is at www.berryandlamberts.co.uk. All our contact details are on there. You can use the contact form. Our telephone numbers and email addresses are on there. And once you do contact us, we'll be able to put you in contact with one of our team who will be able to help.
Thank you for that information, Paul. Paul Reader, Managing Partner of Berry & Lambert Solicitors. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Paul.
And this podcast, we've been covering how the death of a business owner impacts on the business, and we've been looking at disaster recovery plans for that. Don't forget to listen out for the next Berry & Lambert's podcast in this series. I hope you enjoy this series, and we look forward to catching up with you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Berry & Lambert Solicitors podcast series. To find out more about us, our services, and what our clients say, visit our website at berryandlamberts.co.uk. Berry & Lambert Solicitors is regulated by the Solicitors Regulation Authority and is a proud member of LawNet, the leading network of independent law firms promoting excellence and best practice. Please note that information provided in this podcast series does not constitute legal advice and serves as a general guide only. The law may have changed since this podcast was recorded. Listeners should seek legal advice from a solicitor who will take their individual and personal circumstances into consideration.